Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod, your word, and your staff, your spirit, they guide me. They comfort me. His rod, his staff is with us. We've got everything we need to be able to face anything that comes our way. So we're not afraid. We're not backing off and running from the valleys. Thank God for the mountaintops. I said, thank God for the mountaintops. God's got a mountaintop life for you. In fact, over here in Psalm 18 and in verse 32, I like verse 31 too. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? He is a rock. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. Oh, that's good. He sets me on high places. I think about the feet of a deer. You know, deer are light on their feet, aren't they? They are light on their feet. They are quick. That's you and I. He makes us light. We're not dragging our feet, thumping through life, heavy, carrying the burdens of life. No, bless God, he makes our feet like deer. We're light on our feet. Light on our feet. And he causes us to dwell in the high places. He sets me on the high places. I like those high places. I like those high places in life. That's where God wants us to be, in those high places, far above. Far above all the chaos, all the confusion, all the darkness, all the demonic things of this world. He's got a high place for you. Can you say amen? Well, we should be looking for those high places. I said we should be looking for them. We should be letting God lead us into those high places. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil either. There are high times and there are low times. There are mountaintop times and there are valleys. That is what life is full of. Highs and lows, ups and downs. And we need to be able to do them both without changing. Without changing. Without being moved by our circumstances, without being overcome by the circumstances of life. Over in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, who did such great things, or I like to say God did such great things through. God did such great things through this man, amazing things, wrote much of the New Testament, all these epistles. And look what he said. Over in Philippians, the 4th chapter, and in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. No matter what state I'm in. To be high, low, up, down. I know how to be content. He says, I know how to be abased. That's low. That's real low. He said, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it all. I can do it all. It doesn't matter. Full, I can handle full. A lot of people can't handle full. They can't handle full. People get full, they get over into pride. They get inflated. They get full of themselves when they get full of good things. When they get full of abundance and they're experiencing prosperity and great things are happening in their life, a lot of people can't handle it. They change. They turn into something else. They can't handle being full. And then there's folks that can't handle when they got problems. They fall apart when things fall apart. When things go wrong, they go wrong. They can't handle things when things are going wrong. When they're being abased, they fall apart. Now, we need to be content. We need to be consistent. Regardless of the highs or lows, we stay even keel. We are the same. We are consistent. We are not moody. We're not up and down. We're not pushed all around. We're not being bent out of shape, puffed up, inflated with pride, depending on what's going on in our circumstances. That word content in the Greek means sufficient for oneself. Sufficient for oneself. Strong enough or possessing enough to need no aid or support. Sufficient. Having all sufficiency in all things. Mentally, emotionally, number one, spiritually. Sufficient in all things. Complete, mature, perfect. Independent of external circumstances. External circumstances. In other words, external circumstances don't manipulate us. The Apostle Paul said, regardless of the conditions, you know, you follow Paul through the book of Acts, and I mean, there are highs. There are major lows. He goes from casting out demons, hearing from God, seeing a vision of Jesus, to being beaten and imprisoned, hated and despised, lied about, rejected. He goes from being loved to being hated. He goes to having abundance, and he goes to having being stripped of everything, having nothing. I mean, this man experienced major highs and major lows. And it was all through his life. All through his life, it was that way. But he said, I learned how to stay content. How not to get anxious. How not to get puffed up in pride. I learned how to just stay even keel. Just stay the same. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what my circumstances are. And he said, I learned this. This is something we have to learn. This is learned behavior. This will not just come in time. This will not come just because. It's not going to just happen. You have to learn it. I said, you have to learn it, which means you have to make yourself a student of these things. We have to hear these things, get revelation on these things so that we can just be just like him. I can do all things. Don't you love that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Treat me nice. Treat me bad. That's okay. I can handle them both. A lot of people can't. And I'm not just talking about being able to handle the bad. There's a lot of folks, they can't handle the good. They like me. They think I'm important. They think I'm really special. A lot of people can't handle being liked too much. It just rushes. It's like a head rush, you know, just blood rush to the head. It just, and they get heady and haughty and get all kinds of ideas about themselves and start being high-minded and start elevating themselves in their mind above other people because they got some key people that like them. They got people's attention. See, I'm talking about people can't handle many times the highs as well as the lows. But we need to be able to handle both the highs and lows of life. And this is something we have to be taught. We need the Spirit of God to teach us these things. We need the Word of God to teach us these things. These are things we must learn. They're not going to be automatic. You must learn them and put them to practice in life. When you get into messes, you aren't a mess. You know, you have to be able to distinguish the mess from you. My life is such a mess. What do you mean? Well, the kids, the finances, so you are your kids? No. You are your finances? You are your house? The house is a mess? So you are a mess? Because your house is a mess, you're a mess. This is a lot of times how people define themselves. They define themselves based on their circumstances, how things are going around them. We're not to do that. We're to define ourselves according to the Word of God, according to Christ, because we are in Him. We are in Christ Jesus, and therefore, according to His, what He says about us, that's how we see ourselves. That's who we are. And He doesn't change with the weather. He doesn't change with the circumstances. Circumstances change all the time, but He doesn't change. So why are we? Why are we going up and down? He's not sinking into depression. He's not sinking into depression. So why would we sink into depression? See, we got to judge ourselves according to Christ Jesus because He's our strength. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that walks with us through the valley. See, I'm not afraid of the valley because He's with me. And I can handle the mountaintops because He's the one that makes my feet like the feet of a deer. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. How can I get high-minded when I know it's Him that set me on high? How can I get into me when it's all about Him and what He's doing to make it happen? See, it's keeping our eyes on Him. That's going to help us to stay consistent and become like Him. And He is a rock. He is rock solid. He doesn't cave in. He doesn't fall apart. He's consistent. And He's not puffed up. How many of you know rocks are not puffy? They are solid. Isn't that right? They are solid. They're not a big puffball. You can't go up to a rock with a pin or a knife or anything and try to deflate it. It's solid all the way through. God wants you to be solid all the way through. How? By looking unto Him who is solid all the way through. Looking unto the rock will make you a rock in this world. Or a living stone. Because He said, you are living stones, which is just a piece of the rock. It's just a chip off the rock. That's what a stone is, right? Get this big rock, chip off the rock, you got a stone. So we are living stones. We're a piece of the rock. That's who we are. Solid. Solid. All the way through. Somebody say, I'm solid as a rock. Solid. A living stone. So external circumstances don't manipulate us. I said they don't manipulate us. No matter what's going on, we remain even keel. Emotions don't dictate our mood. We discern the time and know what is appropriate or not. The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, it says, there's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh. This is God's word. There's a time for both. It's not just laughing. There's a time to weep. The Bible says even Jesus wept. But he also rejoiced in the Spirit, Luke chapter 10. So he rejoiced in the Spirit, probably did a little jig like we did here a little while ago. At least I did. I had my eyes closed. I don't know what the rest of you are doing. But man, who you get to thinking about him, what he's done for you. Oh, man. You just want to dance, 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 dance. You just want to shout, shout, shout. There's a time to dance. There's a time to shout. The Bible says here there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And there's a time for both of these things in life. But our circumstances aren't dictating it to us. Our circumstances are not determining whether we're going to weep or not.
Everything's just falling apart. Oh, God.
That's not the kind of mourning and weeping we're talking about. There's no time for that. There's no time for that. That's the flesh. That's being moody. That's being emotionally manipulated by your circumstances. There's no time for that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about there's time to fall apart and get over into self-pity. No, that's not what he's talking about. We don't have time for any of that. Somebody say, I have no time for self-pity and pride and all this fleshy stuff. The time is short. I need to walk in the Spirit. Yeah, so we walk in the Spirit. We walk by faith. Not by sight, not by how things appear. So we're not reacting to things. We discern. We discern the time. It's time to laugh. It's time to shout. I discerned that it was time to dance just a little while ago. I don't know if you can call it a dance or what, but whatever it was, you know. Is it time to dance? You got to discern the time. You got to discern the time. When is it time to weep? When is it time to mourn? Because there will be times like that. And you shouldn't be laughing and dancing when it's time to be mourning and weeping. And you shouldn't be mourning and weeping when it's time to be dancing. In fact, over in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, they were reading the word, the law. And in chapter 8, it says, as he was teaching the word of God, in verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord." So they're over there just weeping and mourning. And it probably started out okay. You know, they heard the word and there was remorse and there was repentance. And they recognized how much they had messed up, how far away they had gotten from the word of God. And how much trouble they had brought on themselves. And they were upset about it. And they got to mourning and weeping. And sometimes those Jewish people, you know, they were very expressive. Very expressive. Sometimes they just did tear their garments, you know, throw dust up in the air, throw dirt up in the air, beat their breasts. I mean, really, really get upset. When they got upset, they knew how to do it. And so, you know, it probably started out okay. They're full of repentance. But then it just kept going. People are just getting down on themselves. Just down on themselves. Just, I can't believe what we've done. Oh, God, we're such sinners. We've so messed up. We're so wrong. And they just stayed there and just kept beating on themselves and just beating on themselves. And so he said he had to stand up and say, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord." I'd like to add, they kept weeping. That's just kind of my sense of it. And he just kept on going. Verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't sorrow. This day is holy. 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 A lot of times people think, when they think holy, they think depressing. They think about weeping. They think about misery, feeling bad about ourselves. But he says, no, this day is holy. You need to have joy. You need to eat some fat. You've been cutting calories all week. It's the weekend. Come on, somebody. You need to eat some fat. You need to eat. I'm going to take this advice for myself. Bless your heart. You need to eat. You need to drink the sweet. You need to get some sugar, man. Some of you are starting to like this message now. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Let's just have a good time. Get to celebrating. We got the word. We're learning the truth. Yeah, there's some hard lessons there. We got that, but man, we're learning. And that's exciting. I said, don't just sit there and focus on, I've messed up. I've just done it all wrong. I mean, my God. All right, repent and get excited. Say, oh, thank you, God, for teaching me. Thank you for showing me the truth. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the light. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that enables me to rise up and overcome. Bless God. Through you, I can run against a troop. I can leap over a wall. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, thank you, Lord. Man, go out and eat some fat. Drink the sweet. Get excited because the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is a time to get excited. This is a time to laugh. This is not the time to keep weeping. Ezra discerned that. Thank God the leaders discerned that. They stopped it. They said, no, that's it. Now stop. It's not time to do that now. Let's change gears and let's get over here and get happy, guys. Let's laugh. Let's laugh. Let's have a good time. We need to be discerning. In other words, we need to not just be manipulated by our emotions. We need to be discerning. We need to be led by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. And He'll always lead us to do the appropriate thing at the appropriate time. Always be doing the right thing at the right time. And we should be able to shift gears. Shift gears, come out of a high point and shift right into a low. Jesus talked about laugh with those who laugh, weep with those who weep. We need to be able to shift gears. I'm over here experiencing joy, and then I come across somebody that they need me to weep with them. They need me to feel what they're feeling, cry with them. And then there's other folks, I need to get them out of that crying and say to knock it off. Let's come up higher. Let's get back into this high place. Let's start laughing at the devil. Let's laugh at our circumstances. Let's not sit here and cry and make the devil feel like he's winning. Yeah. See, we need to be able to discern the both. We need to be spiritually discerning, not emotionally moody and manipulated. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 16, but to what shall I liken this generation? He's like, he's looking at this generation of God's people. What shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. He goes on and explains that John the Baptist came with a ministry of repentance, and a lot of these folks weren't moved. A lot of these religious people, they weren't moved by it. They just kind of observed what was going on. And then Jesus comes along, and demons are being cast out. Kingdom of God's being preached. And these same people are just unmoved. these religious people, just sitting there just watching. They're unmoved. Doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize when it's time to laugh and dance and time to weep and mourn. We need to be able to go to the high places, and we need to be able to come down into the low places. We need to be able to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And we need to be able to go through it just like we're on top of the mountain. We don't fall apart in the valley. And sometimes, a lot of times, you're the one that has to come down the mountain and go out into the valley. Because that's the only way you're going to get to the next mountain peak. If you want to get to the next mountaintop experience, you're going to have to come down and go through the valley. The valley of the shadow, it's not a fun place. Valleys are dark and it's not a fun place. The valley of the shadow of death, it's not a fun place. It's a place of indecision. It's a place of uncertainty. It's a place of confusion and chaos. It's what most of our world is in. And we need to be able to go into it, not always be forced into it by trials and tests. A lot of people fall into trials and tests because they are unwilling to walk down into the valley, ready to face it with the things they just received on the mountaintop. There's all kinds of great experience. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we're having a mountaintop experience. We're having joy imparted to us. We're being strengthened by God. We're being solidified. And then we know it's time to go down into the valley. It's time to move on from this place. There's other places, other things to do. And we just walk down. We take the strength that we have. We walk down into the valleys of life. We walk down into those dark, dingy places of life, those tougher places, into those tougher circumstances with the equipment that the strength that we received on that mountaintop. And we walk through that valley. A lot of folks don't do that. A lot of folks try to hang on to the mountaintop. They go down, I just want to stay up here with Jesus. I just want to stay up here with God. They don't want to go down there. Who in the world wants to go down there and do that? Deal with that. So what ends up happening is they end up falling down there. Because they don't have the grace to stay here anymore. And you can't stay there in fear. You can't stay in the high places of life through the flesh. The flesh will not keep you there. It's the Spirit that brings you there. And it's the Spirit that keeps you there. And when it's time to come down, you need to come down. And you need to be able to face the tough times head on. We shouldn't always be falling into trials and tests. We shouldn't always be falling into problems. We shouldn't always be falling into negative circumstances. We should be armed and ready to go right into them and face them head on. Walk right through them, fearing nothing, having no worries. Are you following me? You understand that? You're relating to that? We got to be able to walk into it. Not always falling into a trial or test, but most people, they have to fall into it, which is not a good place to enter it. On the lying down on the ground. We need to be able to enter it standing on our feet, walking. We walk right into it, not worried about it. You know, Paul, many times, again, going back to Paul the Apostle, he would run right into some very, very tough places. He was almost like he looked for tough places to help set people free, to bring light where there was darkness. He certainly wasn't afraid of it. He would go right into dark places, into tough places. He'd put himself in circumstances that most people are trying to figure out how to get out of. In fact, you see that towards the end of his life over there in the book of Acts, the church world is begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. People are getting prophetic utterances from the Holy Spirit about the trials and tests that await him. I mean, he's got some hard times ahead of him. And so their interpretation of that was the Spirit of God saying, don't go. No, the Spirit of God was just letting them know the tough times that were ahead. That he's going to be beaten, he's going to be imprisoned, he might even be put to death. I mean, that's what they were sensing. They were sensing big trouble, even death. So they thought, this is the Spirit of God telling him not to go. So they're begging him, not to go. They're pleading with him, don't go. And he looked at them at one point and he said, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready to not only suffer at Jerusalem, but to die for the gospel's sake. I'm ready to go up there and die. I'm ready to lay my life down. What are you doing weeping and breaking my heart?
Dad, oh, go, Paul. We're going to miss you if you die. What are we going to do?
Great comforters. Great supporters, right? Great, great supporters. They're strengthening him and what's ahead of him. He's like, you're breaking my heart. Be quiet. You're making me feel bad. I don't need this. Thank you very much. I'm not afraid to give my life for the gospel. I'm not afraid of the trials and tests that are ahead. He discerned what the Spirit of God was saying. Everybody else missed it. They're looking at these prophetic utterances about the suffering that awaits him and their interpretation because of their fear, because of their emotions, because of their feelings. Their interpretation was, don't go. Of course you don't go. You're not going to go. You can't do this. You shouldn't do this. And they were wrong. And they were weeping, and they were wrong. And they were crying over him, and it was wrong. It was human sympathy. It wasn't faith. It wasn't the Spirit of God. They missed it. Thank God he didn't miss it. In the midst of all that, he still had such clarity of purpose. He knew what he was called to do. He knew where he was supposed to go. And he understood, now if I go that way, it's going to be a hard road. But let's do this thing. I know that's what the Spirit of God wants me to do. And I'm ready to do this. I'm ready. I'm ready for the hard times and the easy times. It doesn't matter if it's difficult or hard. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not fearful for my life. And that's how we overcome the devil in life, friends. That's what he says over in Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation chapter 12. It says, and they overcame him. Overcame who? Overcame the devil. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And this is the third part. A lot of folks miss this one. They did not love their lives to the death. They weren't so in love with themselves. They weren't so protective of themselves. They weren't so worried about themselves. So that it would cloud their discernment of what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to behave in this situation. Our life is in him. We've already died. I said, we've already died. And our life is in Christ. He is our life. Money is not your life. Your house is not your life. Your family or lack of a family is not your life. None of these things are your life. So none of these things should move you. Should not move you off of who you are in God. Move you off of what God has called you to do. None of these things move me, Paul said. Neither do I count my life dear to myself. And that's so that I can run my race and finish what I'm called to do. You'll never finish what you're called to do if you love your life, if you worry about your life. And people worry about their life in the littlest things. And so we try to hang on to the high times, and we try to dodge the difficult times. You know, over in Luke chapter 9, Luke the 9th chapter. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. And he went up there and he got to praying. And as he was praying, the glory of God began to just come and fill that place like a great cloud. And it says in verse 32, but Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. And the two men who stood with him, that was Elijah and Moses, had actually manifested in the glory of God on top of this mountain. This is an amazing mountaintop, literally, experience. This is a high moment in their life. And so Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's just go ahead and set up camp. You know, this is just a little experience here. I mean, it's a big experience, but it's for a little time. God's just doing something here to help fortify and strengthen Jesus on this mountaintop, to get him ready for the terrible valley that he's about to face, that he's about to go through. And so Moses and Elijah are talking to him about what he's got to accomplish in Jerusalem by going to the cross. They're prepping him. They're preparing him. You know, that's what he's learning on the mountain. We got to understand, when you're on a mountaintop, when you're having a mountaintop experience, that's the time to get all the strength and all the refreshing and everything you can get, because there is a valley that you're going to need that strength to go through with. You're going to need that strength. So Jesus is getting there, but a lot of people do it on those high moments. It's just a high time. It's just an exciting time. It's just a great moment. It's an experience. And so they just get caught up in the experience, and they want to hang on to the experience. And like Peter here, it's like, let's just go ahead and set up camp and never come down. Let's just go ahead. We'll set up these places. We can just live here forever. We can just live here forever, God. I mean, this is just wonderful. I mean, the glory of God, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I mean, they're on top of the mountain. Pleasures forevermore. I mean, this is a high time. Let's go ahead and build our houses right here. We're going to keep Moses and Elijah. They're never going back. They're staying here with us. And Jesus is with us. Man, this is it. We don't have to go down there. We don't have to talk to anybody. We don't have to be bothered. We're going to build a monastery up here. I'll shave my head. We'll be monks, and we'll just live up here in the mountain. Glory be to God with Jesus. And the whole world can go to hell in a handbasket. I'm just having too much fun to quit. I'm just having too much fun to quit. They didn't know what the whole thing was for. They didn't know that they're going to need to come down and take these lessons and bring them to a lost and dying world, to a world that is in darkness and dealing with all kinds of ugly, demonic, oppressive things. They're going to have to go right into those things and set captives free and face these things for themselves. They couldn't stay on top of the mountain. So they're like, hey, we'll just build these houses, and we'll just build this monastery, and we'll just live here forever. And not knowing what he said. Not knowing what he said. He's talking out of his head. He doesn't know what he said. When you talk out of your head, you know not what you said. Verse 34. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Listen to him. Stop your yapping. You don't know what you're talking about. Be quiet. You can hear the father's frustration, can't you? He's like, he comes moving in. Peter opens his mouth. We're going to build a house, and we're going to be here forever. And it's just so exciting. It's just so exciting. We're going to be here forever. Oh, glory to God. We've reached it. We were there now. Praise God. We've reached it. And God comes walking over. Sip it. Listen to him. Learn something. Next thing you know, they came down the mountain. And there was this guy having seizures. And Jesus delivered him from those demons that were oppressing his life. There's a time to come down. But a lot of folks, just like Peter, they don't want to come down. They want to hang on to that mountaintop experience. But that's not how we're going to get through the battles of life. That's not how we're going to overcome the devil. We're going to overcome the devil by getting what we get on the mountaintop and taking it into the valley. And going into the valley, we're not afraid of the valley. If you're afraid of things going wrong, if you're afraid of adversity, if you're afraid of trials and tests, if you're afraid of tough times, I'm afraid you're not going to make it very far. We can't be afraid of these things. We got to be ready to face these things and say, we are living stones. We are a piece of the rock. Our God is with us. We are more than I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me. We're not afraid. We're not withdrawing. We're not pulling back from the tough times. Somebody say, no pulling back. No pulling back. That's how Job got through his adversity. How many people know Job faced terrible adversity? But it's as terrible as it was, I got news for you. At the end of the book, he's twice as blessed. He overcame. He was able to stay in there long enough until he got some whirlwind revelation from heaven that caused him to overcome and come out even more blessed than he was before he went into the trial and test. And it was a horrific test. It was a terrible, dark time. How did he get through it? Well, when he got hit with all this adversity, when all hell broke loose in his life, look what he says over in Job chapter 2. His wife, beautiful wife, she was a great comforter and strength to Job. What a helpmate. Such a great helpmate, right? Let's pick it up. Job 2, and it says, it just describes this terrible thing. Verse 7, it says, then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils. Know where painful boils and sickness and disease comes from. It comes from Satan, not from God. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and he took himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. I mean, this guy is in pain. He just lost everything, and now he's in terrible pain. And it says in verse 9, then his wife said to him, oh, honey, it's going to be okay. You're a good man. God is with us, and we're going to overcome this thing. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what it says, actually. It says, and his wife said to him, do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die. I guess, you know, she probably said in her vows, till death do us part. So if he would die, then she could depart. Maybe that's what she's thinking. I don't know. Curse God and die. But the way he handles himself, she recognized he was a man of integrity. He was a man of integrity. Even in the midst of all hell breaking loose in his life, this man continues to worship God. He doesn't even understand half of what's going on, but he's worshiping God and he's giving God glory. He's giving God thanks. And notice what he says. This is why the man made it. This is why Job made it. Verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What did he say there? Should we just expect high times and never any low times? Should we always expect everything to be great? And there not to be adversity and hard times? Now, he was a very wealthy, blessed man. I mean, he was famous. He was well known. He was well liked. He was the richest man in the East. So he is a very wealthy man. He is living in luxury. He's got all this comfort, all the comforts of the day in his life. Things are good. And yet Job did not become soft. He was rock solid. He didn't allow the pleasures of life and an easy life according to his circumstances cause him to become mushy and weak and unable to stand up when things got tough. A lot of times, you know, people, they get some money and things, and next thing you know, it's all about going to the lake, and it's Sunday, we used to go to church, but it's beautiful, and I got the boat now, and I'm going to go to the lake, and we're going to do this, and we're going to go do this, and we're going to travel, we got money now, we're going to go to the cabin, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and they start getting spiritually soft and weak. That didn't happen to Job. We see it right here. He was tested. His mettle was tested. And he was rock solid. When everything came against him, what does he do? He holds to his integrity. He worships. He honors God. He does not curse God. He stays in there. He got some things wrong. He thought the adversity was coming from God. We know it was coming from Satan. He didn't know that. Job, the book of Job, it is the oldest book in the Bible. It goes back even before Genesis. So, I mean, he had like hardly any light whatsoever. And yet, he knew you worship God no matter what. You worship God. You don't turn against God. You always take God's side. That's pretty good. I'm going to always stay on God's side. And so he still had some hope about him. And he still maintained his integrity, would not curse God, even when things got as bad as they did. What an example. That's what we're supposed to be learning from the book of Job. People walk away with all kinds of crazy ideas. You know, they come up with all kinds of crazy doctrines and things by looking at the book of Job. That's what we need to walk away with. In fact, over the book of James, it tells us exactly that. It says, you've heard of the perseverance of Job. You've heard of it. A lot of people have not heard of the perseverance of Job. They heard about his boils. And they heard about what God did to him. And how God put these things on him because God does weird things at some times. Sometimes he'll bless you, sometimes he'll curse you. People walk away with all kinds of weird doctrines and ideas about Job. But what we're supposed to get is, look at the perseverance of this man. How did he do that? Well, look what he said. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. We've been abounding. And I've been doing that right. And now we're being abased. And I'll do that right too. I can do all things. I don't like it. It don't feel good. But I can do it. I can go through this thing right. Even though everything's going wrong, I can go through it right. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't matter what's going wrong, I can get through it because Christ strengthens me. I can do all things. Give me the mountains, Lord. You can trust me with the mountaintops. You can trust me with the higher revelations. You can trust me with the higher places. Because I'm looking to you. I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting you to keep me trusting in you. I mean, I'm trusting in you for everything. And you're a rock. And you keep me solid. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that though I walk through the valley, send me into some valleys, Lord.
Lord, I'd never pray that.
Lord, send me into some valleys. Let me go in there, test me, see where I'm at, and help me to be able to set people free. I don't want to believe lies about myself. Now let me just pray. God, make everything good, make everything nice, everything great. Oh my God, something bad's happening. Something bad's happening. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? It shouldn't be happening. Where's God in all this? I don't understand. I was trusting God. I was believing God. And look at this. This should never be happening. Why is this happening? God, I keep praying. He's not answering me. Pastor, what do I do when God doesn't answer you when you pray? Well, the Bible says, having done all to stand. Stand. Get up. Stand. Don't fall apart. Fall apart. Stand. Having done all to stand. Somebody say, no matter what happens, by the grace of God, I stand. Hallelujah. Good times and the bad times. People say that in their vows, don't they? Through good times and bad times, I think. We'll see. It sounds good. It looks good for the camera. The photographer's looking through good times and through bad, through sickness and health. No matter ups and highs and lows, I'll be with you always. Till death do us part. Or until you get on my nerves enough. Get on my nerves enough. But it looks good. So we say, I'm an overcomer. We're not going under, that means, right? We're not going under. We're not falling apart. Now, you might need to make a speedy godly exit out of some things. But it's a godly exit. I said it's a godly exit. We follow the Holy Spirit. I said we follow the Holy Spirit. And those are more rare than they are common. The common is people are usually ditching because, you know, the toilet paper is always on backwards. They never put the toothpaste cap back on the thing. And I just can't handle it anymore. It's just too much for me. And that's usually what people are ditching the relationship for. But there are cases where people have to get out. They need to get out because of abuse and things like that. You know, we're not just talking about sticking out through anything. But we're led by the Spirit. It's not because of our feelings. It's not because of our emotions. It's because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not because I can't take it. I can do all things through. I can't take it. I can do all things through Christ. You can take it. You can overcome it. But you might need to follow the Holy Spirit. Let him direct you. Direct you. Valleys are never comfortable. I got news for you. You know, valleys aren't a fun place. But we can't be afraid of them. We can't fall apart, and we got to face them. We got to look into them and say, okay, Lord, I believe you're with me. It's hard to hear you right now. It's hard to see where you are in all this. But I've got integrity. And I'm going to hang on to the integrity of your word. I'm going to trust in you. And we're going to get through this thing. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm just going to keep doing what I know to do. So many things. God taught me that years ago. I went to him. I asked him, what do I do about this? He said, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. He doesn't have to say that again to me. And yet I have applied that to, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate and say a million things, but I've applied it to probably about a million things. I don't know. I've never recorded the amount of things. But I just apply, I go to God, I go to prayer, I go, Lord, what about this? And I just remember what he already said. Do what you know to do. Okay. So, you know, he doesn't say a lot of things to me that he used to say to me because he's already said it to me, and it applies to a lot of things that I'm facing today. That's why it's important to listen today. It's important to listen on the mountaintop. It's important not to be like Peter and James and John, who are slumbering and sleeping in the middle of this experience that God has invited them into. They're not listening to Jesus. They're not paying attention. Had they paid attention, they would have been a lot more ready for what they were about to face with Jesus. But they were not ready because they were sleeping on the mountaintop and they were sleeping in the garden the night that he was betrayed. They were heavy with sleep. Things are good. We just ate a big meal. We just played some music. I feel really good. And they just relax. And they don't get the lessons that they need in those nice, relaxing times. Those are times to receive strength and learn. Get impartations from God. That's not the time to just get fleshy. See, this is a problem. Things go well. People are on a mountaintop, and the tendency is to just drop your guard. Take all the armor off. It's safe up here. Just take all the armor off and just go ahead and just party and have fun. Just relax. Just be fleshy. Just, well, everything's good. Everything's going good. I don't even need to pray about anything. I mean, it's all covered. Praise God. And they just sit back and they just flesh out. No. You're going to need this time of rest and restoration because you're not going to be here forever. We'll come down and there will be a valley. There will be a battle. There'll be things to face. Does that scare you? It scares you if you're just a TV computer guy. But it won't scare you if you prepare yourself. you get what you're supposed to get in those nice relaxing times. They were getting sleep. They were getting heavy with sleep. That's what they were getting.
Oh, man, my flesh is really satisfied. That was a great leg of lamb tonight with that mint jelly. That was really good. And they're just ready to sleep. They had too many potatoes. Too many potatoes, and they fell asleep. Pass me the sweet potatoes. Pass me another sweet potato. Let's have dessert. What's on the menu for dessert tonight? Well, we got cream puff pie.
It'll puff you and make you happy. Ooh. And so what a lot of people do is they indulge in those moments. They just eat it all up. That's good. Eat it all up, but be prepared. Get the lessons. Be listening to Jesus. Don't always have to be in a trial to pray. A lot of people, they need a trial to pray.
God's setting this trial so I'd pray. No,
the trial was coming. You should have been praying on the mountaintop. And you would not be crying right now during the trial. So we need to be praying even when things are going great. Children of Israel, they would cry out to God, oh God, deliver us from our oppressors. God would come and deliver them, and then they'd go right back to their idol worship again. Well, we don't need God anymore, everything's good now. Praise God, everything's good. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. We don't want to be fleshy, right? We pray in the high times and in the low times. Low times and the high times, right? We're rejoicing, we're in faith, we're positive, our eyes are on Jesus, we have integrity in both the high times and the low times, we are not changing our stance, we are remaining rock solid, our focus is on the Lord Jesus, we're staying consistent, we can do anything, go through anything, it doesn't matter what's going up and down, we're staying steady, we're staying level, no matter what's bouncing up and down around us, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what kind of emotions I'm feeling, it doesn't matter, I'm going to hang on to them, I'm going to control them. And we can do that. Now, you got on a boat, and it can be rough out there. You can't stop the boat from rocking. But you can drop an anchor and hold yourself in your place. I said, you can hold yourself in that place that you're supposed to be in. You don't have to be just taken and knocked up against the rocks and your boat be destroyed. No, you can be in the boat. Now, a wave comes. I can't stop. Nope, the boat's not going to rock. This boat will not rock when this wave goes by. It's going to rock. You can't stop the boat from rocking. You can't stop your life from rocking. But you can keep it anchored. And you can pull up the anchor and you can put it in drive and you can go the direction you want to go, regardless of how many waves you're hitting. In fact, you can make the waves kind of fun. You know, if you got a nice boat. I'm just saying, you know. I kind of like that, you know, that motion. Anyway, that's another story. But you can actually enjoy the journey, even though it's unenjoyable to the flesh. On the inside, you can get through it. You got strength. You are anchored to the word. You're anchored to the truth. You're holding fast to God. You've set your course for where he wants you to go. You know this is not forever. You know you're going to get through the valley. You know there's another mountaintop. Just keep moving. Right? Doesn't matter how dark it is overnight. We know the sun's coming up in the morning. Don't we know the sun's coming up in the morning? Get excited. We might not like the darkness, but the sun will come up in the morning. We might not like the storm, but we know it will clear up. It's not going to storm and storm and storm and never stop storming. The storm will come to an end. And when it's all cleared and it all passes, we'll be standing. We'll be found stronger. We'll be found better and ready for our next mountaintop experience. Hallelujah, because we're being prepared on the mountaintops for the valley, and the valleys are preparing us for the mountaintops. We're learning lessons in both. We're learning. We're learning to be abased. We're learning to be abound. We're learning to be able to laugh and cry and know what to do, when to do it, because we are spiritually discerning, walking by faith and not by sight. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking at some living stones this morning. Am I? Somebody say, I'm solid as the rock. Amen. Stand on your feet with me and let's thank the Lord for the truth. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.